Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
So, as we've been saying for almost an hour now, we've heard that the advice from NPHET is that Dublin is to move to a level 3 of COVID restrictions. The Cabinet is going to meet and decide on that advice tomorrow, but as we await the outcome of their decision, what impact is this escalation of restrictions going to have on people's emotional well-being? How can people cope with this roller coaster of living with COVID, facing regular uncertainty as to how their lives are affected, when they can see their family members, can children continue with their sports and social activities, and so on? I'm joined now by Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin and author of Coping with Coronavirus, How to Stay Calm and Protect Your Mental Health. Good evening, Brendan. Is it of any benefit to us that we have had this possible move to level 3 flagged for so many days in advance, or does that make it worse?
I think there seems to be a strategy of things being flagged to us several days in advance. It does lead to difficult evenings. For example, most people in Dublin this evening have this sense of impending doom that everything is going to change tomorrow and we'll be restricted in new and different ways. I think it helps a bit, but there are other things that would help, you know, a great deal more. People are very resilient once they know what's going on insofar as that is knowable, and once uncertainty is shared honestly with them. So one of the most important things is that there should be a plan. Now, this week we got a plan for restrictions at various levels. And that's a step forward once a plan is clear, once it's adhered to, and once it gives people, and particularly, say, business owners, the degree of certainty that they might hope for and that can tap into their innate resilience, because many people are very strong.
What would you do differently if you were in charge of the messaging here? How would you communicate it?
One of the interesting things that's developed over the course of the pandemic in Ireland so far is that there has been a move away from narrative, from a shared story, towards, if you like, more staccato messages. And I think a return to a narrative would be very, very helpful. Bullet-pointed restrictions and messages read like a list of rules. And that will get us so far. Most people obey rules. But to really penetrate, we need to rediscover a sense of shared purpose.
Not always possible, though, because if this was a narrative, it would be one hell of a confusing story to try and read, where you're going to be telling different stories in different parts of the country at different times and then doubling back and changing the narrative depending on where you are. Is it possible to construct a unified story of COVID for Ireland?
Well, everyone's individual experience has been so different. Some people restricted at home for months and months and months, and many people over the age of 70 who haven't left their house at all since February. And on the other hand, people out and about, we have people who were ill, people who were bereaved. So in a sense, they're individual stories. But there is also a national story. There is a story of a pandemic appearing. There is a story of restrictions appearing. Everyone shifting their behaviour, often in very similar ways. The appearance of face masks on the street. There's so much we all share, and things we have lost, subtle things like facial expression is now less visible and we've lost that part of communication. We've all lost a touch. We've a great deal less touch in our lives, and our sense of other people has changed from being a very welcoming social kind of people to being hesitant. Other people now are a threat rather than a comfort.
Would it be a good idea to tell people what they can do, where it is safe for them to not wear their masks, how far they can go from their homes? Or does that just confuse the message even further? Are you better off just saying, no, look, it's 20 kilometres, folks, so here's where you have to wear your masks?
The advice needs to be crisp and clear. Even if the data aren't quite crisp and clear, the advice needs to be so. But we do need to devote a lot more time to articulating the positive, what we can do, what we should do. And again, I think people over the age of 70 have been real victims here in the sense that they perceive this huge threat, a threat that, you know, exists, but they do not hear articulated the messages about what they can do, about going out for walks, about the importance of taking the steps that we can. And this works at individual level too. In as much as we respect the, if you like, the prohibitions in the restrictions, we should also respect the permissions.
And if there was one thing that we were to remove from our lives to improve our emotional well-being right now, would it be social media by any chance?
It would be our mobile phones. We would all put our phones in the boot of the car at 8 p.m. each evening and not consult them again until the following morning. If we could do that, we would certainly eliminate a lot of social media because our brains are terrible. We fly towards the worst, most unlikely conspiracy theories. And even if we don't believe them, they have an emotional impact. And we tend to share the most outrageous, untrue tweets rather than the reasonable, balanced ones.
I don't know if it was invented before 2020, but certainly doom scrolling seems to be the word of 2020. Brendan Kelly, thank you very much for joining us this evening, Professor of Psychiatry in Trinity.